Good morning. Welcome back to worship today. We are gathered in online. Welcome if you're joining us online. We're here in person. It's such a beautiful morning. Snow, isn't it lovely? It's a great morning to just sit in, settle in, and hear God's word. So as we begin, let's ask God to give us insight and understanding as we pray. What are you doing, Pastor Craig? Lord, we thank you for our time here together. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are at work in our midst. And Lord, as we listen, as we hear, I pray, Lord, that you will help me rightly share your word and help us all to receive it and grow in our knowledge of you as Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Pastor Greg is blowing up a balloon here as we get going. And I want to ask you, what are you waiting for? What are you expecting? What are you waiting for? You know, we are in our sixth week of the Immerse Messiah Reading Bible, where we're reading the whole Testament over 8 weeks. And so if you're new with us today or just joining us, we are in the book of Matthew this week. So I encourage you to go ahead and read with us the book of Matthew or go online at bethcov.org. Click on the logo and you can listen along to the whole book of Matthew. A little background is helpful here because this is a distinctly Jewish book. As we begin, Jesus points followers to understand what they've been waiting for. So in Rome, Jesus' followers are facing their greatest test. They have faced all kinds of persecution in the days following Jesus. Peter and Paul have already been executed. And now followers could avoid that same fate if they would just simply identify as Jewish believers following the Torah, but not as Jesus' followers. So Matthew writes to these Jewish believers. He wants to encourage them that Jesus is the culmination of the whole Jewish story, and that in Jesus, the story is not over, the story is just beginning. So he says to them, keep following Jesus. He's the one we've been waiting for. So we want to take time this week to look into the book of Matthew, and I encourage you to go on and watch that introduction video. It sets up what you're reading, and it's very helpful. So I encourage you to do that as we go into the Gospel of Matthew. We find after the introduction, good job, Pastor Greg. Let's give him a hand here. Way to go. Oh, he's still going. All right. So in the Gospel of Matthew, we find that after the introduction, the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus, and he has kingdom authority. So kingdom authority that he announces, the kingdom of heaven is here, and then he begins to demonstrate its expansion throughout the world. So he proclaims it, he preaches it on the mountainside in this great sermon we know as the Sermon on the Mount, and then he demonstrates kingdom authority and miraculous signs that reveal that the king, all things about the kingdom that he's been revealing. And so that's where we're going to park today in this message. As we read, we realize that what's happening in and through Jesus has never before been seen in all of Israel. And for those who accept it, it is what we've been waiting for. So in 8 healing stories in this section, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is revealed as the one who has kingdom authority to expand the kingdom of heaven. So followers have already learned in the sermon what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Now they're about to experience and understand what to expect as they move into the kingdom of heaven. So Pastor Greg has expanded this balloon as an illustration for us. How are you feeling? Okay. When you're done, you can set it there. Thank you. Good job. So that's the idea. I want you to think about expansion as we're going through this these miracles. Think about the kingdom of heaven growing and expanding in Jesus. So what does this mean for kingdom followers? What does this mean for us as followers of Jesus? Well, who benefits from this kingdom authority? What does it accomplish? What does it do? What does it mean? What limits does the kingdom authority have? How is it accessed for us and others? What implications does it present? And finally, for those who are struggling, certainly under persecution in those times, but for us today who maybe sometimes struggle as followers of Jesus, will things be the same as they were before? What are we to expect? Well, Jesus makes this comment to some religious leaders. He says, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the wineskins. New wine is stored in new wineskins, and both are preserved." So we're looking at something new taking place through the kingdom of heaven, through Jesus' authority. So what are the followers of Jesus experience as the kingdom of heaven is expanded? Well, we're going to find out in first three short miracle stories, beginning on page 324 in the Messiah Reading Bible, if you'd like to follow along today, or we'll find those up on the screen here as well. It begins in Matthew chapter 8. So it starts out saying, "Large crowds followed Jesus as they came down the mountainside, and suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. 'Lord,' the man said, 'if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean.' And Jesus reached out, touched him. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be healed.' And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, 'Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priests and let them examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy, and this will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed.'" So remember, we're holding on to this image of the kingdom expanding and Jesus' authority and message reaching out to those who haven't been able to receive it up to that point. So Jesus is approached by this man with leprosy, and the first thing we have to think about is contagious disease, right? Contagious. Leprosy is a serious disease, and especially in those days, there's no cure for it. Boom. And so everyone knows that they have to stay away from someone with leprosy. They have to stay away from this contagious person. And that's why this man acts as he does when he comes up to Jesus. He kneels before him. He doesn't just come up and talk to him. He comes and kneels down, you know, doesn't get too close. He asks Jesus if he's willing, or at least acknowledges that if Jesus is willing, he could heal him of this leprosy. And the problem with leprosy is that in ancient times, it's an incurable disease that isolates people. It isolates them from healthy people around them, but it also isolates them from the spiritual life that they understand. How you draw near to God is to go to the temple and worship and offer sacrifices. But a person with leprosy has no access to the temple because they have leprosy. So this man believes that Jesus has the authority to expand the kingdom now beyond his disease to include him in the kingdom of heaven. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. So what he discovers is that Jesus is willing, and he demonstrates it in a shocking, unthinkable gesture. He touches the man and says, "Be healed." So remember, this is a contagious disease. It doesn't know any boundaries, right? Rich or poor, religious or non-religious, healthy or sick. This disease can pass from one person to the next by the touch of a hand. This man is instantly healed. So he's healed, but he's not restored. This is important. He's healed, but he's not restored. Not yet. See, the Jewish law requires that a person healed of leprosy needs to present himself to the Jewish priests to show the proof of his healing, and then to offer a sacrifice for what we would call a spiritual healing, something that can't be done prior to this, remember, because he can't go to the temple. He has no access. So Jesus tells the man, "Don't tell anyone, just go and offer the sacrifices as a testimony." And when he completes those requirements, he'll be reinstated back into the community of the clean, and he'll once again belong. His healing will then be complete. So what does this reveal to us today about Jesus' authority? Well, Jesus not only has the power to cure a man of an incurable, contagious disease, but it doesn't harm Jesus in the process. So access to the kingdom has been expanded in Jesus because it doesn't need to distance himself from those who need him. Now they can come to Jesus, no matter what their condition. So what does this mean for us as followers? Well, the kingdom is extended to those to receive those who are unreceivable, so they can be restored into the community of faith. So it challenges us, I think, to think about people who we might think of in our Christian communities as outsiders, either because of their past or current behavior, or maybe because they just don't fit the mold of a Jesus follower in our religious traditions. So we're challenged to recognize that Jesus wants people restored. Jesus wants people welcomed into kingdom community, no matter how serious the barriers have become. So that's our first point today, is Jesus expands the kingdom to embrace anyone outside the kingdom community. So Jesus expands the kingdom to embrace those outside kingdom community. This story is followed by another miracle healing, and this time by a paralyzed man. So we read on, when Jesus came to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." You know, the faith response, or the lack of faith response, are one of the few things that amaze Jesus as we read the Gospels. You know, he's amazed at people's faith, and he's amazed at people's lack of faith. And in this story, he's blown away by the faith of this Roman official. This man believes that Jesus can heal a servant from a distance just by saying the word. And Jesus responds by saying to those gathered around, the indicator of kingdom expansion, the indicator of the kingdom expanding won't be religious heritage, it will be faith. People will enter the kingdom from all kinds of backgrounds by faith, or they will be excluded from the kingdom by lack of faith. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home because you believed it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. So this reveals that Jesus' kingdom authority extends beyond his physical presence. He didn't have to be there with the paralyzed man to heal him. He simply spoke the word and it was accomplished. So it reminds us, it makes us think about the beginning of the Bible. Way back when God spoke creation into existence, Jesus said, "Let there be light." And there was what? There was light. It was spoken into existence. And now Jesus, the Son of God, is coming to recreate and speak into existence the expansion of the kingdom of heaven through the word of God. So what does this mean for Jesus' followers like us? Well, kingdom authority is faith activated. It's faith activated. It's not present in one place. It's not confined to physical touch or presence. It's not even transferred from one source to the other. Jesus didn't transfer it to the Roman authority who then brought it to his servant. It was simply spoken by Jesus and it happened. So kingdom authority is activated anywhere by faith. So I want to caution us here who might want to take that a little farther. You know, there is something unique about being present together as the community of faith with Jesus in our midst and sensing God at work in our presence. Those are very real things. We experience that. But what this healing miracle reveals is that Jesus' authority is not limited by physical presence. So we discover that, one, Jesus expands the kingdom to embrace anyone outside kingdom community. And number two, we have access by faith. Say faith. Faith, by faith. So in the next healing episode, things move a little fast. They get a little crazy. It says, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever, and Jesus touched her hand, and the fever left her. And that evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus, and he cast out evil spirits with a simple command and healed all the sick. So we're showing that illness and evil, they're no match for this kingdom authority that is experienced in Jesus, and he is empowered to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. Man, that sounds like something we need right now, doesn't it? You know, I was watching this week, and towards the end of the week, the cases of COVID in the U.S., and if you're watching this later, this is the end of October, have reached 80,000, you know, a new high. And I think about that, and I think, wow, a simple command by the authority of the kingdom of heaven and all that would be wiped out. and we could get back to a normal pre-pandemic life or whatever else we were planning before this illness and sickness arrived. So no wonder people are lining up to see Jesus in the scriptures. But he responded in a peculiar way to people who wanted to follow him. He said, "Foxes have dens to live in, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." And another of his disciples said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me now. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead." Sounds kind of strange and harsh, but Jesus is giving two very important reminders for wanting to be part of this extension of the kingdom of heaven. The first one is that kingdom authority is not intended for personal comfort or gain. It's not intended for our personal comfort or gain. And number two, there's a missional urgency attached to it. It's urgent. So we have to be very aware of the differences between trying to use Jesus for our mission or being used by Jesus for his mission, right? We want to be used by Jesus for his mission, not the other way around. So following Jesus requires a conscious choice between earthly goals or kingdom goals. And sometimes they can seem very, very close together. They really can. Jesus makes it clear that when we follow the Son of Man, who is not building an earthly kingdom, he is building a heavenly kingdom. He's expanding the kingdom of heaven here on earth and calling his followers to do the same. So it's easy to forget. You know, Amazon promises me that within 2 days I can have instant gratification, right? Anything I want, anything they sell on Amazon, I can have at my doorstep in 2 days, whether I need it or not. Usually I need it or not. Anybody during the pandemic feel like kind of put out because you couldn't get stuff in 2 days? Anybody feel like that? I was like, hey, where's my package? It's not here. You know, we get so used to that sense of having things our way when we want it. One click, you know, it's so easy. Click, click. But his mission, we recognize his mission takes priority over our personal comfort. His mission is urgent. It requires our full attention. Not tomorrow, not today. You know, the kingdom of heaven is not an Amazon fulfillment center. Anyone hearing this at that time that Jesus was speaking had been wondering to themselves, is this really in my best interest to follow Jesus? Is this really what I've been waiting for? The disciples are about to find out as they jump into a boat with Jesus. So as we go along, Jesus got into a boat, started across the lake with his disciples, and suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and suddenly all was calm. So up to this point, we've been dealing with miracles, dealing with people, right? Healings and casting out demons. Now we see something altogether different. Jesus is demonstrating kingdom authority over the very creation, the winds and the waves. And with the same immediacy as the healings and the exorcisms, with the command of his voice, the wind obeys. What does that mean? That's what they wanted to know. The disciples were amazed. Who is this man? They asked, even the winds and the wave obey him. So what does it mean for those who choose to follow Jesus? Well, we don't need to fear. Jesus has authority even over nature. He calms the storms. So following is by faith. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, we heard over and over, faith, not fear, right? Say that with me. Faith, not fear. Jesus' authority extends over the physical realm, so when we walk by faith in his kingdom authority, really, what is there to fear? What is there to fear? Nothing. So if you feel like you're in a boat and the waves of life are raging, the wind is blowing, the waves are coming over, Jesus is the one that you're waiting for. Be still. Don't fear. Have faith. So the book of Matthew, it jumps right back into two more healing episodes. One deals with two demon-possessed men and the other a paralyzed man. So the first gives us another look at faith over fear. It says, when Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of the Gadarenes, two men were possessed by demons, who were possessed by demons, met him, and they lived in a cemetery and were so violent that no one could go through the area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" So we recognize in this story that these are some powerful demons. We find in a parallel gospel that there's many of them, legions of them. So we don't miss what's happening here. The demons are afraid of Jesus. The demons are afraid of Jesus. They know his kingdom authority to command them, and they beg Jesus to send them out, if he sends them out, to send them into a herd of pigs. And he does. The herd of pigs goes down the hillside, they jump into the lake, and they all drown. What a mess, right? So the nearby town comes and begs Jesus to leave them alone. Why? They're afraid of Jesus. They're afraid of Jesus. Later on in Matthew, he quotes Jesus saying, "Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell." So if you and I fear God, if we revere God, if we obey God, if we trust God, if we follow God through Jesus, there's no need to be afraid of anything else. Demons, storms, nothing. Jesus cares for us. He loves us. He died for us. He has power and authority over all things. Even the demons are afraid of Jesus. We don't need to fear them. We live by faith, not fear. So let's review where we're at so far. The kingdom of heaven is breaking in through Jesus, this kingdom authority, and Jesus expands the kingdom to embrace anyone outside the kingdom community, and we all have access. It's faith, not fear. Access by faith. And now we're about to uncover the ultimate kingdom authority in Matthew chapter 9. It says, Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. So I hope you're not getting seasick yet. We're going back and forth across the lake, storms and wind. You know, it's okay. Take your Dramamine. We'll keep going. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child. Your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?" You know, they're asking this because Jesus declared the paralyzed man's sins are forgiven. And teachers of the law know that mere humans can't forgive sins. Only God can do that. So what do you think so far? Is Jesus God? Is he? Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked, "Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, went home, and fear swept the crowd as they saw this happen. And they praised God for sending a man with such great authority. So the point is clear here. Jesus proves that he can forgive sins by the healing that he performs. And this is the final piece of restoration into kingdom community. Your sins are forgiven. My sins, your sins, our sins are forgiven. These are the words we all need to hear. That's what we're all waiting for, to hear the words, "Your sins are forgiven." So Jesus has authority, there's my balloon, to expand the kingdom. He does it by inviting those who are on the outside to come inside. He does it by healing those who are contagious and restoring them to the kingdom. He has authority to forgive sins. He opens the way to enter into the kingdom. And now he demonstrates his authority to heal the morally sick as he welcomes a tax collector named Matthew. So as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, They asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people need a doctor. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." So we understand in this passage that Jesus has the authority to pursue sinners, no matter who they are. In fact, it says that it's why he came. It doesn't matter anyone's background, it no longer disqualifies people from the kingdom of heaven. So those that are considered morally bankrupt, Jesus pursues them. Those who are considered religious traitors, Jesus pursues them. Those whose reputations would make a pastor blush, Jesus pursues them. The people religious leaders reject as scum are the people Jesus pursues and calls to follow him. So what does that mean for us as followers today? Background doesn't mean anything. Jesus is the hope of sinners. So if you're not perfect, Jesus is calling you to follow him. So we review. Jesus expands the kingdom to embrace anyone outside kingdom community. We all have access by faith, not fear. Jesus has authority to forgive sins. And if you're not perfect, Jesus is calling you to follow him. So now I'm going to jump ahead to two more healing stories as we start to wrap up this miracle section in Matthew. The leader of a synagogue came and knelt before Jesus. "My daughter has just died," he said, "but you can bring her back to life again if you just come and lay your hand on her." So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with them. Just then a woman had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was healed at that very moment. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw the noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. "Get out," he told them. "The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she stood up. We already know that Jesus doesn't need to go there to heal the girl. We already know the woman doesn't need to touch Jesus' robe to be healed. They only need faith. And yet the woman does touch Jesus, and Jesus does go out of compassion, and it results in their healing, but it's activated by faith. So they believed in the authority of Jesus to expand the kingdom into their lives by faith. So we follow this progression of miracles as we see a physical healing and then the casting out of demons to the power over nature, to the forgiveness of sins, to then the raising from the dead. And this progression is intentional because it shows Jesus' authority on earth to expand the kingdom over every force that opposes it. And it ultimately overturns the curse of sin by destroying death, restoring people back to a right relationship with God. Not even death can overcome. So Jesus demonstrated power to forgive, and now he shows he has the power to reverse even death. So what does it mean for followers? He gave his disciples a foretaste of it when he sent them out with his authority. Now the disciples go with Jesus' authority. Jesus called his 12 together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and illness, and they did. And after the resurrection, Jesus brought them together again, and he said, "I have given them all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the day." So kingdom authority is given now to you and to me through faith to expand the kingdom of heaven in Jesus' name, to welcome in those who are on the outside, to have access now by faith, not fear, to extend Jesus' authority to forgive sins, and if you're to call those who are not perfect to follow him, and to make followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus. I had to pray this week. Somebody had called the church and needed some help with the moving. I knew this was coming, and it was not a project I was looking forward to. Pastor Greg had agreed to help me out of his gracious heart. And so we went over to this person's place, and it was a lot bigger job than I expected, just like I was afraid of. And before I went over there, I had to pray, Lord, give me compassion. I knew this person needed help. They didn't have anyone else to call on. I didn't really know them, but I knew their situation. And I just lacked compassion. And I had to ask God to make my heart compassionate towards this person, that I would go with grace and offer myself for whatever needed to be done and bless that person to be an extension of the kingdom of heaven in a difficult place. And God was gracious. He gave us compassion. And with Pastor Greg's muscles and his mind, we got it all done. Or should I say experience, Pastor Greg? Jesus says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Who are we waiting for? Jesus. He's come. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you how we are shown in the scriptures through your miracles, how you are fulfilling the kingdom of heaven with authority and power. Lord, we thank you that in you we will see the kingdom of God advance as we hold on. In Jesus' name, amen.